XCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Kremlin says Vladimir Putin met with U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff today ahead of President Trump's Friday deadline for reaching a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
We haven't seen any signs, any signals from the Kremlin that it's willing to do a U-turn or make concessions in order to end the fighting.
Mr. Trump's threatened Russia with severe tariffs. We've found out more about the Justice Department's meetings with Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator, correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
CBS News has learned Ghislaine Maxwell said nothing during her nine-hour meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche in July that would be harmful to President Trump.
California's biggest wildfires, one in Los Padres National Forest, is growing. CBS's Jason Allen is in Santa Maria.
The wind has been pushing the fire through these canyons, and it is testing some of those containment lines. The weather isn't offering any help.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices are up 4.8 cents compared to last week, landing at an average of $2.92. This is 0.7 cents lower than a month ago and over 56 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. The national average has increased during the past 2 weeks and is up 1.3 cents from last month, standing at $3.11 per gallon. Officials at Gas Buddy say OPEC Plus has fully restored production to 2023 levels. The weak jobs report and renewed tariff threats bring fresh economic concerns, causing oil prices to potentially face headwinds. This could pave the way for a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead. Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.76 to $2.87 per gallon. The Wisconsin Elections Commission deactivated nearly 200,000 voter registrations on Friday, August 1st. This happens every 4 years in a maintenance process required by law. The voters deactivated by the WEC had not voted in the past 4 years, and the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, says the WEC does not have a record of them responding to a mailing from the agency regarding their registration status. Every 2 years, the commission is required by state law to conduct voter record maintenance. Wolf said the required review helps ensure the integrity of the statewide voter database. Individuals whose voter registration status is deactivated can no longer vote using that voter record and must re-register to vote at their current address. Of the more than 202,000 postcards the commission mailed in June notifying inactive voters a notice of suspension, 9,501 did respond. Voters with no record of responding or whose postcard was returned as undeliverable by the post office were deactivated. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
Another Brewers victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series with the Braves in Atlanta. Milwaukee winning again last night, 7-2. Manager Pat Murphy says now the games get tougher.
Yeah, this is a game that easily, you know, when the other team leaves 14 on base and only scores two runs, they certainly didn't get the big hit. So we were fortunate. We got to look at that as, oof. You know, we're fortunate to take advantage of some walks, but that's who we are.
NFL, the Packers signed Nate Hobbs to a four-year contract worth over $48 million, but he's not going to be in any preseason games. The defensive back says he needed surgery on his right knee after colliding with a teammate in practice last week.
I think it was Thursday's practice. It was a play. It was a collision. It was like slight little minor bump. I felt like I always, you know, something I always get. Somebody ran into me. But it turned out to be something deeper than that. So.
That's Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92.
Currently, 56 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife. But she says, I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Are you a little frustrated with how voting is going in Wisconsin? Well, tomorrow we'll talk about a possible solution called Fusion Voting. Join us live on location from La Crosse for Leader Ethics and Fusion Voting.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, August 6th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing this show down in Madison Studio A2, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Brittany, we were talking about the musical Hamilton opening 10 years ago today. Have you seen it? Are you a Hamilton fan?
I have not seen it. No, okay. But I would love to. I would love to.
You would love it. What I learned over the news break here is that Parker here, he was in high school when this musical was peaking, and makes a unique claim about his knowledge of Hamilton. And that claim, Parker, would be?
I'm pretty sure I know just about every word to that entire show, I think.
And so, since we don't have a guest for, you know, another 28 minutes or so here, we're now going to turn the show over to Parker. That's and true. He's going to recite Hamilton. Yeah. The clean, take out all the naughty words.
Something like two.
Take it away, buddy. How does a... Oh, wait. See, we... Never mind. In the very first line, there's words we can't say. So I guess we'll just have to go to weather instead.
How does it? Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, actually, yeah. See? Mm. Yeah, you got it.
That's the first line.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. We'll come back to it.
Shoot.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll workshop this. In the meantime, we have been talking about the wildfire smoke, which, by the way, the advisories for at least parts of Wisconsin, this is the 23rd day, I believe, of advisories exceeding the record from 2023. Not a record you really want to break, but we do appear to be on the tail end of it, Brittany.
Oh, let's hope so. It kind of went backwards this morning. Areas that aren't even in an air quality alert are seeing some of the highest levels throughout the state right now. Just south of Madison, you're in a red unhealthy level at the moment. It's orange, unhealthy for sensitive, pretty much all throughout central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, and all of eastern Wisconsin. Still seeing that wildfire smoke, that fog, that thick haze out there. Hopes are that by this afternoon, it should clear the entire state. We've got winds starting to move out of the south. They're starting to get feisty, so they should gust around 15 to 20, hopefully, miles per hour this afternoon, kicking out that air mass and bringing in a new one. The new one comes with rain, more humidity and mugginess, and of course, hot temperatures as we push towards the weekend. So changing weather patterns completely here as the jet stream starts to lift north. We are looking at a low pressure just off to the west that is wrapping in a warm front to the western parts of the state right now. So that's where those south winds are coming from. And today we are going to hit the low to mid 80s. So getting a little bit warmer there. We will become mostly cloudy because we do have rain on the way. Light rain and drizzle is possible today, kind of working its way throughout the state. And then overnight, we got another round coming through with some more scattered showers, maybe some rumbles of thunder. No severe weather to worry about just yet. And of course, as we go into tomorrow, highs will be in the low to mid 80s. And we've got the mugginess seeping in at that point. It's going to get very hot and humid. Temperatures nearing 90 degrees on Friday and Saturday, and dew points in those 70s. So it's going to be feeling closer to those mid to upper 90s. And then the cold front hits. That'll be Saturday and into Sunday. That's where the severe weather chance moves in, and some heavy rain that could cause some flash flooding.
Ooh, so much to watch over the next few days here.
Yes.
Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob on YouTube. It's partly cloudy with light fog and 58 degrees, still very smoky. Yesterday, I got 4 yards mowed west of Tigerton and had no breakdowns, which is something we always like to see. I went to the Tigerton Library after work to get the latest information on Highway 29 plans to put into my Highway 29 scrapbook, and then had tacos sponsored by Tigerton Main Street Incorporated. Yesterday was his sister Debbie and her husband Kevin's 30th wedding anniversary, some lawns to mow, and then a doctor's appointment in Shawano. And here's a traffic update from Tigerton. Beginning August 11th, there will be road work along 29 westbound between the Wolf River Bridge and the Highway 22 interchange. It'll be down to one lane in each direction, and the Highway 22 interchange ramps will be closed until late October.
Ooh,
take note.
That's a while.
I know.
Jeez.
We would do more of these, but given what construction season is like in Wisconsin, that would take the whole 3 hours. So we're just going to put them in from the Tigerton area. If you want to add your own to the comment section, that's fine as well. Hey, Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right. Reminder that you can always sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, including our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. And we have a question of the week this week that asks, how should blue states respond to the red state gerrymandering going on in Texas? Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network later today, well, of course, you've got Matinee on Air, which follows this program from 9 to 11. Political strategist Joe Zepecki will be joining Jane and Greg just after 9:30. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Again, Darren Von Ruden, not to be confused with Derek Van Orden, the congressman, who is decidedly not working in line with things the way the Wisconsin Farmers Union is. The Todd Alba Show is on from 2 to 4 this afternoon, and I'll be making an appearance there in the 2 o'clock hour, and maybe Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project. I know that he is traveling, so he may or may not be checking in. He's so far away right now that we may actually have him on this show tomorrow morning, Trygve Olson, because we can't get him to wake up at 7 a.m. in Wisconsin, but it'll be well past that where he is. So we might have a Trygve Olson sighting, if not this afternoon, then tomorrow. And then Jim Santel is the guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show, starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hey, Pete Schwabba's got a couple of guests this evening as well. At 6:30, he'll catch up with musician and photographer Chris Rogowski, and then Madison film critic Rob Thomas at 7:20. So much to see, so much to hear across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can see more over at their website, civicmedia.us. We've been talking more sports lately than we otherwise normally would. That's what happens when your team is on another winning streak. This one is 5 games after the Brewers beat up on Atlanta again last night, 7-2. So the winning streak is at 5. The lead over the Cubs is now 4, a 4-game lead in the National League Central Division. Freddy Peralta went 5 innings, giving up only 1 run on 4 hits. Andrew Vaughn singled in 2 runs, and he extended his hitting streak to 11, matching his career high. And National League Rookie of the Year candidate Isaac Collins drove in 2 runs on 2 hits. Jose Quintana will start Game 3, and once again, pregame at 5:40 this evening on several Civic Media stations. Then a travel day tomorrow as the Brewers come home and will have a weekend series against the Mets. Do we think the radio station tickets for the Brewers, those nice club seats, do we think they're all probably all snapped up by now? Right?
I do believe they're all snapped up. Whenever you were here, so like 2 weeks ago, I think I asked Luke for some tickets, might have been for this weekend, and he said, no, how about the end of the
month? About no?
Yeah. How about no? So
right.
No, yeah, it's slim pickings, I believe, is the
well
term.
That's what happens if you want to go to a White Sox game. I mean, there's There's tickets. If you want to go to a Twins game, it's already tough enough to be a fan of a sports team that is not doing well. In the social media era, you at least can laugh through the tears. The memes that have been put up, the TikTok videos that have been put up by Twins fans after the ownership had a fire sale, you know, last week. I mean, what was it? 10 out of the 26 players were traded away in some way, shape, or form. So you've got like the, you know, the John Travolta one from Pulp Fiction, or I think it's Pulp Fiction. He's just looking around the room, like looking. Is anybody here? And of course, they put him in Target Field, looking around. Is anybody here from this team? You've got from The Fresh Prince, when Will Smith comes down, you know, into the family home, and like all the furniture is gone, and everybody's gone. Like, where did they go? No shortage of movie clips that point out just how hard it is to be a Twins fan this year anymore. Yeah.
I feel bad. Good baseball's fun.
No, we don't have to feel bad.
No, I don't care about. Here are the teams I don't like. The Cubs and the Cardinals.
Oh, well, that's a short list.
I think that, as far like that I care about not liking, those are the only ones. Yeah. I don't love the Yankees. But
I think the only team I would say I don't like in baseball would be the White Sox, because they had is he still there? Or is he gone now? That announcer of theirs, Hawk Harrelson or something like that. I mean, it was him and another announcer, and it's just that, you know, that Chicago tough guy thing where they just dump on all the other teams. They can't just call the game. They always felt the need to punch down back when they thought they were all tough, and then of course the White Sox. You know, before the Brewers were big rivals with the Cubs, the Brewers were in the American League.
Yeah.
And it was the White Sox games that got particularly nasty. I mean, in the couple of years before the Brewers switched from the American to the National League, those games, I'm not saying they were all bench-clearing brawls, but, you know, they got to be tense at times.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And either way, you had to put up with Chicago fans coming up to Milwaukee. Yeah. And that's a thing.
That is a whole thing. Chicago sports fans are an interesting breed.
You know what, though? Over time, I mean, we used to say this about Bears fans, too, but, you know, when you spend enough time in the basement, you're eventually a little bit more humbled when you're able to, you know, come out of the basement and meet up with the rest of the folks. Bears fans have been better behaved. I'm not going to say well behaved. Don't get me wrong here, but they've been better behaved. Roger putting up on Facebook here. Hawks partner was Tom Pachorik. Yeah, it was him, and there was it John Rooney for a while was with them as well. Anyway, they were just so
Southside.
Yeah. So not fun to listen to. So for the Brewers to be having the kind of year that they're having. Especially this lead up on the Cubs, if it can maintain, it's just going to make things that much sweeter. Plenty of things to see over at CourierNewsroom.com, Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. For example, there's Mark Jacob, who joins us on Friday mornings. He also has the Stop the Presses newsletter. You can also see it at stopthepresses.news. And this week in his newsletter, he says, will journalism become impossible in the U.S.? Trump's war on the free press is following the foreign dictator's playbook. And he outlines that. Let's see. We also have our friend Jennifer Schulze, who has a newsletter on Substack. You can find her newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, on Substack by searching for @NewsJennifer. She is talking about the Paramount merger with Skydance and its takeover of CBS. And in her newsletter this week, she says, a CBS investigative piece on the Epstein jail video broke important new ground. Under its new mega mandate, that story might never be allowed. And so you can look for that again from our friend Jennifer Schulze. And then back on Courier Newsroom on YouTube, go to youtube.com and then put in Courier HQ. And look for the series, How Is This Better, with Akilah Hughes. And again, this one is about the Trump media takeover and why Americans are increasingly split into the informed and the manipulated. So all that and more to find over at CourierNewsroom.com. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we come back, we'll have this week's homeroom segment. We'll be talking to folks from Green Bay, from the school board, from the city council, about the ways that they created better taxpayer transparency when it came to the cost of voucher schools and how you can do that in your community as well. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Matt Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Your car steering wheel could be a ticking time bomb. At least 24 people have died and many more injured because their airbags fired shrapnel at them upon inflating. Tens of millions of cars have been recalled. If you suffered cuts that required stitches, hearing or vision loss, or broken bones, please contact us today. You could be owed money for medical bills and other damages.
Morgan & Morgan. Visit us at badairbags.com for an office near you. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning. The time is 7:22. I am Chad Holmes. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Joined once again by our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Once again, Ian, we will bring you back in just a little bit because, again, this morning we are very happy to welcome a guest into the studio. And for the second week in a row, terrific to talk about South Beach Up North 2025, the 19th annual Wausau Chamber Music Festival. And very happy to welcome back Michael Andrews. Michael, great to see you again.
Thank you, Chad. It's so great to be here.
Well, two shows, two performances down, and three more performances to go. And now you have a different production coming up this weekend. And actually, it's interesting because you were in Wausau for Saturday and Sunday. You'll be back in Wausau Thursday at the Woodson Art Museum. But then you're spreading the wings again. You're heading up north to Minocqua. You're heading southwest to Marshfield. It looks like you said it's a whirlwind 2 weeks, but this will be a whirlwind week for you,
right?
And your group,
yeah.
Isn't it?
We have three. Last week we had two different concerts. This week we have the same program in three different locations,
right?
And so we're doing Haydn, Shostakovich, and Chaminade piano trios. And the great thing about the Thursday concert at the Woodson, we've been playing at the Woodson Museum for 19 years, and we love it there. We love the space. One year there were quilts on the walls, and it's just a beautiful location to play. And the Woodson always gets over 100 people coming to our concerts. Mm. So we're happy to be playing there. And they have a wonderful Steinway piano. And then up in Minocqua, we play at the St. Matthias Church. And we actually had a salon several years ago at the Hagee's. And one of the people that attended said, you should have concerts here. So we started doing that. I don't know. I think it's about 5 years now. And we play there, and people really love it. And then over in Marshfield, how we got that connection is I was speaking to Sue Nelson from the Community Foundation mm-hmm. several years ago, and I said, where else could we play? And she said, well, Marshfield has a Community Foundation. So we applied for a grant there. We got support from the Marshfield Community Foundation. And so we play at the Chestnut Center, which is a beautiful – it's an old church. So the acoustics are great. It's all wooden interior, and they have a beautiful piano. And so we – you know, we do three different concerts in 1 week.
It sounds like people should just come up to you and say, hey, you should play here.
Right. Yeah, we're happy to do that.
Yeah, you're up in Minocqua, and then, hey, you're in Marshfield.
Anybody,
elsewhere.
Anybody in the area, you know, we're very happy to add you.
Again, Thursday for folks here in Wausau at the Woodson Art Museum at 6 p.m. And you said it's the same show for all 3 days. What is the show this week?
Well, it's all piano trios. So last week we did string quartets. A string quartet is two violins, viola, cello. A piano trio, sometimes people think, three pianos. No, it's actually a violin, a viola. Sorry, no, it's not. It's a violin and cello and a piano. So Lie Tanaka is coming back, and she is so charismatic, and she plays beautifully. We started playing with her when she was undergrad at Stevens Point, and now she has her master's and doctorate, and she's wonderful. She actually teaches now at the University of Arizona. Mm. And then Anna Cromwell is professor of violin and viola at University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. So the three of us are playing together. And so we're playing, starting with Haydn. Haydn is, he was an Austrian composer of the classical period, and he really formulated and invented the string quartet and the piano trio. So people say that he's the father of the symphony and the father of the string quartet. And so his music is really delightful, charming, and it really is easy to listen to. He was a friend and mentor of Mozart and a tutor of Beethoven.
Hmm.
And then Shostakovich, completely different style and feeling. He was a Russian composer. He was really... he had a hard life in Soviet Russia because the people in charge didn't want him to, you know, write Western music. Right. He had a very tough life. So his music is really, a lot of the angst that he experienced in his life is in his music. So there's like sharp contrasts and grotesque ambivalent tonality. But he was also influenced by Igor Stravinsky and Gustav Mahler. So, and this, the piano trio he wrote like when he was really young, and he was in love, and you can hear the beauty, but also the desperation and the tragedy of young love. And then we're ending with Cécile Chaminade. She was a French composer. She was the first woman in France to be awarded the Legion of Honor. And she was in sort of the same style of Saint-Saëns, and her music is rooted in the Romantic and the French tradition, but it's also tuneful, highly accessible, and mildly chromatic. Hmm. So she has her own style. She said, I'm essentially of the Romantic school, as all of my work shows. And it's really, it's a big piano trio. It's a major work. So it will be really interesting to hear that. It's the final part of that program.
Very interesting. Again, at the Woodson Art Museum coming up on Thursday at 6 p.m. And we will have more with Michael Andrews talking about the South Beach Up North 2025 19th Annual Chamber Music Festival that's continuing this weekend. We have an information update featuring the Midwest Farm Report coming up, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow straight ahead. The time is 7:29. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you this morning. When you get a big group of farmers together in one place, chances are that the weather and crop conditions are going to be a topic of conversation, and that's exactly what we were hearing yesterday during the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Award Breakfast at the Wisconsin State Fair. Good news on how the crops look around the state, both from the growers as well as the official crop progress report from USDA. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing joins us with an update on how Wisconsin's crop ratings are holding up against the national scene.
Yeah, crop ratings continue to stay strong. Corn, 73% good to excellent nationally. Wisconsin's still holding in there really well, 81% good to excellent. We got a great crop going here, at least in terms of how it looks at this time frame, just from talking to producers around the state. They keep echoing that sentiment. Soybeans, 69% good to excellent, kind of in line with what the market was thinking. Again, Wisconsin soybeans, 81% good to excellent.
Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Unfortunately, a good crop outlook isn't necessarily price supportive. On the close yesterday, grain markets were lower. We'll take a look at that next.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshakes still mean something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On the close yesterday, cash corn was down a nickel and a half at 381 and a half. December new crop corn down a nickel at 402 a bushel. Cash beans were down 3¾ cents at 971 and a half. November new crop beans down 3¾ at 990 and three quarters. And cash and new crop wheat is down 8½ cents at 508 and a quarter. Class 3 milk contracts saw a rally ahead of the overnight. That meant the 40-pound block cheese was 2¼ cents higher at $1.80¼. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. AA butter closed down 2¼ cents at $2.44 per pound. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday, with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92. Currently, 56 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome to our weekly homeroom segment where we highlight public education in Wisconsin and the opportunities and especially the threats to it, including the lack of taxpayer transparency when it comes to things like the ongoing voucher school movement in Wisconsin. And today's topic takes me back several years to 2017, particularly when I was helping my friend, then State Representative Dana Walks, in his campaign for governor. And one of the things that he liked to talk about that he thought not enough people were talking about was that need for greater taxpayer transparency on property tax bills. That not enough was being done to let taxpayers know that when they see that line on their property tax bill that says, you know, school district of Chippewa Falls, that not all that money is going to the school district of Chippewa Falls. In fact, a lot of money is skimmed off the top and put into the voucher program, but the taxpayer wouldn't know it. Dana Walks wrote a bill that called for that chunk of money to be, you know, put separately on the property tax bill. Republicans in the legislature year after year said no, that they weren't going to require that through state law. Some folks in Green Bay said, well, maybe we need to make that happen at the local level. And they recently did, and they're here to talk about how you could do that same thing in your hometown and have, again, greater taxpayer transparency. This isn't about whether voucher schools should exist, and this time around, it's not even whether they should get state funding, though I'd argue that they shouldn't. But at the very least, you should know how much of your tax dollars go to that when it's on your property tax bill. So we welcome back to the program our friend Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're also happy to be joined by Laura McCoy of the Green Bay School Board and Alyssa Prophet, who's an alder on the Green Bay City Council. Nice to have all of you here. Thank you, Denise, Laura, Alyssa. Good to see you all.
It's nice to be here.
Denise, let us start with you. I know we've talked to you about this previously, but lead us up into what happened in Green Bay. In other words, before we even get to what they did, maybe you can say, you'll say it better than I can. Why is it important to have this kind of transparency on property tax bills?
Well, it's critical for taxpayers to make well-informed decisions on if they support future referendums, but also just to know and understand where their tax dollars are going.
Yeah. And so, again, the state legislature wasn't making this happen. Laura, do you want to pick up the story and talk about how things started to get rolling in Green Bay?
Yes. In the fall of 2023, our school board passed a resolution asking the city council of the various municipalities that fall underneath the Green Bay School District umbrella to please include this this information on their tax bill. We started with Green Bay, which is obviously the largest municipality. We passed the resolution, our board passed it unanimously. It went before the city council the following January, and it got tabled. It didn't pass, and they didn't even take a vote. What happened is that this is where Alyssa comes in. She was elected the following April and brought this back to the city council. The upmake of their city council had changed, and she really pushed hard for this.
Alyssa, why don't you go ahead and take the baton from there to talk about how you got started in this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm thankful to know both Denise and Laura, who are great advocates for public education. I also value public education. I have a kindergartner and first grader starting up in about a month here at Green Bay Public School. this was a conversation that I hate to say was easy at the start, right? Because I've yet to talk to a voter who wants less transparency when it comes to where their tax dollars are going. They want more. And in this conversation, like, where do we put it? I believe there's a few pieces of mail that taxpayers will look at and take seriously. And that's likely their W-2 documents if they still receive those via mail, and it's their tax bill. It's a property tax bill. The entirety of the council sees calls go up when it's that time of year, right? So really what I did from there was bring back a communication really for just staff to investigate the feasibility. That's the first step, is really like, can we get our staff who are phenomenal at the city of Green Bay. They're willing to run with a lot of things that the council wants to look into, right? So that was the first step. We thankfully got that through committee level. Our worked legal and finance worked with the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, showed examples of where and what we were looking to do. They came back, and Wisconsin Department of Revenue was really our end all, or you know, the final say when it comes to the feasibility piece. They said, yeah, yes, we can do that. And the imaging that was shown was then sent back to council to discuss further. Was an interesting night at council in terms of who spoke in favor and who spoke against. So I can maybe let Laura or Denise speak to that a little further. But thankfully, it did pass. Unfortunately, when a lot of things pass easy in this cycle for us, this one was not. It was a 6-6, and it was broken by the mayor. But it was a pass. So we'll take that.
Well, without a doubt. So once you looked at the feasibility, I'm wondering if part of it too was then the cost. It's one thing to say you want the transparency, but A, you have to go get the numbers, and then B, you have to change the way that you do your property tax bills to put it out there. Was cost any kind of a consideration in this as well, Alyssa?
That was certainly a question from a number of alders as well. And our finance department is the one who creates and does the work there. And then the county is the one who prints the bill. So from a city perspective, our staff said to them, this would be $0 cost. I mean, they said it's work that we're already doing. It's something that if that's what the body wants. It was kind of funny, the discussion, you know, folks were like, well, what else can we add to it? And they're like, yeah, what else do you want to add? I mean, it's printed for the city of Green Bay. Like, yeah, so cost certainly was a factor, but staff was confident in saying that it wouldn't be at any additional cost for us.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. It is sometimes politically convenient when you want costs itemized. I recall being in the legislature and hearing Republicans say, well, there should be a Google. Government should be essentially like a checkbook where you can look line by line at, you know, all the things that cost taxpayers money, which nobody really totally disagrees with, Denise, unless you're looking for obfuscation. And so it's one thing about whether, you know, it's feasible to get the numbers. It's another thing if you can afford to put the numbers on. But it seemed to me, first and foremost, the reason we weren't seeing these numbers on tax bills was that there were too many lawmakers trying to hide the cost of vouchers. And Wisconsin Public Education Network has basically made a cottage industry out of going, oh, we'll get those numbers for you.
Yes, we have. And that's been really important and valuable, because we're finding a lot of legislators and therefore also city council members have no idea what the costs are for the voucher program and also what the costs are on the taxpayers.
Right. And so that's Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. A moment ago, you heard from Alyssa Proffitt on the city of Green Bay City Council. Now back to Laura McCoy on the Green Bay School Board. And again, this whole notion of getting the numbers and providing the transparency, this does not sound like it was a heavy lift for the school district of Green Bay, nor for any other school district. The transparency is something you would naturally want the taxpayer to have, it seems to me.
Yes. And I think that the indicator of the importance, the political importance of this statewide, is who showed up at our city council that night to argue against voucher transparency. I think you might be interested to know that John Gard showed up and Kate Zeiske showed up to argue against this measure.
And remind people who they are.
John Gard used to be in the state legislature, and his wife, Kate Zeiske, used to be the secretary of
State revenue, treasurer. I believe, or yeah. and state treasurer. Yeah. So, I mean, they've had leadership positions that were part of a legislature that was not looking to make these costs transparent. And as you just said, they're still arguing against that to this point. Let's carry it then to the next step, and that is other communities around Wisconsin, if they want to do this. And I don't know if the order in which you did it was the way that everybody should do it. Denise, do you want to go with this first, that if somebody just wants to start this from scratch in their particular school district, what are your recommended first steps? And then I'll ask Laura and Alyssa the same question.
Well, you'd want to contact Wisconsin Public Education Network. You can contact one of the regional, you can go to our website, find out information, how to get a hold of us. And we'll gladly have a conversation with you and get you all the background details. In fact, we have a toolkit that we're going to make available to communities that want to take this on. And yes, the first step is the school board writing that resolution and asking the city to do this, or the municipality or the township, because that's where it really has to start, is they have the information and they can move forward with it. Yep. So.
And that would be at wisconsinnetwork.org, a great website to learn more about taxpayer transparency. And so, yeah, let's, Laura, from a school board standpoint, again, if somebody is looking to get this going, what are your recommendations for first steps they should take?
Well, yes, as Denise said, it starts with that resolution. And since we were able to do this in Green Bay, people have been reaching out to me across the state. In fact, after I'm done here this morning, I'll be calling someone on the eastern part of the state who is very interested in trying this in their community. This issue is heating up. And I was in Milwaukee over the weekend to see Beto O'Rourke at a city hall kind of situation, and got up to speak and tell people about this, you know, what's going on. And I got to tell you that the room, when I told them that next year there might be as much as $800 million taken out of public education for the voucher program, I mean, this is, people are paying attention to this right now. So, you know, if this is important to you, if this is something you want to try to do, start with your school board. But you're also going to need your city officials. You're going to need the support of your community to some degree, as well as potentially your superintendent, maybe some statewide elected officials. In Green Bay, it took a team of people to take it through all the stages, and you know, in the end, that's what it took.
Alyssa, in our final minute here, from a city standpoint, again, whether somebody is hearing who is serving on a city council or is close to people who are, what should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say reach out to Wisconsin Public Education, ask those questions, and you don't have to wait, I would say, from a city perspective, right, for your school board to take something up. If this is something that interests you, I think we always hear how education funding is complicated. It is, but sit down, grab a coffee with someone like Denise, get an understanding, because even though you might be from a municipal perspective, you still have that municipality. You can increase some transparency for your township, and everyone should consider doing it. We can't wait for the state to act. Time is now.
And our friend Chris Hambuck Boyle puts on Facebook, "What a team for the taxpayers, what community will be next?" And it's true. Oh, wait, did I want to make sure I get that right. I did say .org, right, on mine? Yes, WisconsinNetwork.org.
Yes,
okay, I saw in the comment section, somebody fixed theirs. And again, just want to make sure it was clear, WisconsinNetwork.org, to learn more. Laura McCoy from the Green Bay School Board, Alyssa Prophet, a District 7 alder in the city of Green Bay, Denise Gomer-Hutchison from Wisconsin Public Education Network. You guys are taxpayer rock stars indeed. Thank you so very much. Good to see you today.
Nice to be here.
All right. And again, this is something that you can do in your community as well. And I think back to Dana Wachs's original bill. This is a basic thing. The legislature should have done it years and years ago. They didn't, but you can. A local break is next for some of you. Others will catch up with Jimmy Koska from Civic Media next. You're up north.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Laura McCoy, she is a member of the Green Bay School Board.
In the 1990s, revenue caps were put into place, and Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling with that basically ever since. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. That's wonderful, but we need that per-pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. Again, we are talking to Michael Andrews from the South Beach Chamber Ensemble, the man behind South Beach Up North, Wausau's 19th Annual Chamber Music Festival. I got to ask you, because when you arrived here today, on your back, you got a big red container. And I said, are you going to play for... No, you got a rehearsal coming up. But I got to think, when you walk around with your instrument, you probably like that. You're out there, you're with your instrument. I just think it said a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess the feeling you have with your instrument, because I imagine that is probably one of the most important relationships in your life.
Yes, my father bought the cello in 1968. And so I was in high school at the time. I've had that cello ever since, and he really, that's the best investment he ever made. I think he bought it for $600, and it's worth much, much more now. So it's a modern Italian. It was made in 1911.
Right.
And it's a very special instrument. So, and that cello has traveled with me to Venezuela when I lived there, and has traveled up to New York. Actually, in our international tours, we've traveled to Brazil twice, and Argentina, and Mexico. So it's a well-traveled cello.
Was there anybody that you watched during your career that you really took away something significant from?
Well, I had many different teachers in college and then after college. And I think nowadays, especially with younger people, wherever they are, they have access to YouTube, and there is so much on YouTube. I mean, there's some good and bad on YouTube, but musically, it is like a, it's just an abundance of good music, good training. You can watch a string quartet, the Juilliard String Quartet, or even the Priority Quartet at the University of Wisconsin. My friend Perry Karp is in that. He's been there for 40 years. You should also, when you take the music, you should look at the score. Like if it's a string quartet, there's four different parts. Look at the string quartet score. Look at what the viola is doing. Look at what the other violins are doing. When do you have sort of like a dialogue back and forth, or a piano trio with the piano? What's the important thing that the piano is doing when you have a solo? And then on the YouTube, it's really, there's great music. Rostropovich, for me, cellist Rostropovich, Yo-Yo Ma, Misha Maisky, brilliant cellists. And then there's new people, like on Instagram, there's a German woman, and I can't remember her name, but she's playing a cello concerto by this woman who was a composer in France in the 1800s, and I never had heard of her before. So there's so much music out there. You really have to pick and choose and focus on good music.
We talk about the shows that are part of the Up North 2025 Festival. How many shows do you do personally a year?
In Miami, we do one program in Miami Beach and then also Coral Gables, so the same program. So we've done about five or six programs each year. And so that's, if we do five, that's 10 concerts. But we also work with Dance Now Miami, which is a wonderful local contemporary dance company. And we always do one collaboration with them at the Miami Beach Botanical Garden. So this past Easter, we did Blossoms for Peace. So that was all about flowers. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of different flower songs, which we included in the Mozart of the Move this summer. This coming year, we're going to be doing a collaboration with a puppet master. So we'll be doing lots of different little songs with his puppets. We're also hoping for the best, because in this age where all the arts are being canceled, yeah, from the county, the state, and the federal government, we're very concerned because we don't know yet what our funding will be. And we get funding from grants from the city of Miami Beach and also Miami-Dade County. So we're very lucky here in Wausau to be really fully supported by the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin and a lot of other supporters.
These productions do not happen magically. You mentioned the Community Foundation being such a great supporter, but you also have some other wonderful supporters. They deserve some recognition as well.
Sure. So let me just start. Our support for 19th Annual South Beach Up North is provided through the Community Foundation Grants Program of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, with funds provided by the Community Foundation and the BA and Esther Greenheck Foundation. We also get support from the Dudley Foundation, Ellison Realty of the North, Gowie Abstract and Title Company, Marshfield Area Community Foundation, 98.9 WXCO, thank you, Redmond Realty Group Minocqua, the Greg and Sally Reinflesch Performing Arts Foundation in Marshfield, St. Matthias Episcopal Church, Sternweiss and Sons, Marshfield, Bailey Strasburg with First Weber in Minocqua, UMR, Wausau Conservatory of Music, Wisconsin Public Radio, and the Woodson Art Museum.
Fantastic. Wonderful supporters. Once you get through this weekend, I probably won't see you until next summer again.
Exactly. Unless you come down to Miami for a concert.
There you go. But when do you start thinking about the 20th annual Up North Festival? When do you start thinking about what you want to do with that?
Well, first of all, I'll see if the players that we played with, brilliant players these 2 weeks, to see if they're available and when they're available. We really love working with Anna Cromwell from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and Lee Tanaka is great. And then Rochelle Pearson from the Wausau Conservatory. And we also have our Angela Kratchmer, who comes up from Miami. She's actually from Iowa, so it's an incentive for her to go see her parents when she's up here. Mm-hmm. So once I get back next week, I'll sort of take a breather, and then probably in September start reaching out to people and also looking for what music we'd like to play.
And I guess to wrap it up, to let people know where they can catch you and these very talented musicians this weekend, starting on Thursday here in Wausau.
Right. Thursday is at 6 o'clock at the Woodson Museum. It's free. Come early because it's always a packed crowd. Friday in Minocqua at 7 p.m. at St. Matthias Episcopal Church. And then Sunday in Marshfield at 2 p.m. at the Chestnut Center for the Arts.
Fantastic. And Michael Andrews, again, thank you for bringing this up to Central Wisconsin. It's always great to see you, and it'll be before we know it when we're talking again.
I know. Thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Michael Andrews, again, from the South Beach Chamber Ensemble. Get over to Woodson Art Museum Thursday at 6 for a wonderful, wonderful production. The time is 7:59. Got the top of the hour news update, information update, news, weather, and sports. And then back to Pat Kreitlow. We still have another hour to go. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Ian and I will be back at 22 after the hour and 52 after the hour with more editions of the WXCO Morning Report. Glad you could be with us here on this Wednesday morning, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Bulldozers are clearing brush at Los Padres National Forest north of Los Angeles, where the state's largest wildfire has now chewed through more than 80,000 acres. CBS's Jason Allen is in Santa Maria.
The separation between black and green on the hillside is where firefighters have cut big fire breaks and used retardant to stop it here. But no sooner do they do that, the wind kicks up and the fire just pops up again somewhere else.
We've learned more about Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator and her interview with a top Trump administration official. CBS's Tina Krause.
Sources familiar with the matter tell CBS News Epstein's associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, did not implicate President Trump in Epstein's crimes during her recent meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche.
In Japan, a ceremony today marking 80 years since the U.S. dropped the world's first atomic bomb on Hiroshima. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.